Good morning. Chorus. Well, at least we can bid welcome to those of you who brought your summer colds along with you. And I know that we can all assure you that this was the right place to bring them. There are quite a few practitioners here already trying to see to it that you go out healed. Always remember that the most important part of our work takes place in the first 15 minutes. If your time is short, if you have available very little time, try to be here from 10:45 to 11, and if you must go, go after 11, because the most important work is done from 10:45 to 11. After that, it is more or less a lesson. But up until that time, it is the real thing. And it is in that period that the real work takes place. Now let us see if we can explain that. Perhaps you have noticed in magazines like the Reader's Digest, from time to time, articles on business and professional men and women who have learned the value of closing their office doors two or three times a day or in between deals or business appointments for brief periods of meditation. Or you may have noticed items like the chapel at United Nations building, other chapels of that nation, of that nature, non-denominational, where anybody may enter at any period of the day for a period of meditation or spiritual refreshment. Perhaps you have noticed more and more churches keeping their doors open at noon and inviting the public in for brief periods of prayer, meditation, spiritual refreshment. And all of this points to a very important thing, and that is that recognition is now being given to something that has always been known, rarely practiced in the West. And that is that the greater part of man's resources are within himself. They are not his brains or his education or his brain power. His major resource of strength is not in his muscles. There is an area of consciousness in which is stored our major resources of every nature, spiritual resources, mental resources, and physical resources. Perhaps you catch a glimpse of this in the athlete who really only gets going after he catches his second breath. Where was that second breath? Most of us, when we are physically tired, we quit whatever it is we are doing, walking, running, working. We feel that we have reached the end of our resources, not realizing that there is this second wind, that if we just keep going, there is an area of our consciousness that has stored up in it enough resources to keep us going 10 times longer than our original strength or our original wisdom. It is the people who have learned this, some accidentally, some through search, but those who have learned this who are capable of the greatest successes. And it makes a difference whether it is in a physical activity, a mental activity, an intellectual activity, artistic or otherwise. Because when you have come to the end of your human strength or your human knowledge, your human wisdom, your human powers, you still have this second wind. You still have this area of consciousness in which is stored up the real resources. The life lived by those who know this is sometimes called the life of withinness or the inner life, the mystical life, the spiritual life. The name of it doesn't much matter. What counts is the recognition that there is this area of consciousness within you. Please remember that it is just as much within you as it is within any individual in the world, for God is no respecter of persons. There never has been a person on the face of the earth with any less capacity than another. There are those who draw more on their capacities than others. There are those who know more about their hidden resources, the hidden manna, the hidden splendor. There are those who know so much about it that they are enabled to bring tremendous success into their lives. Now, sometimes it is claimed that turning to the life of withinness or the inner life is an escape from life. I believe some psychiatrists have that belief, that any turning of attention away from the baubles of the outer life is an attempt at escaping from life. This is as nonsensical as the whole principle. The inner storehouse, the master referred to as my kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. My peace give I unto thee, but not the peace of this world. It is a kingdom, it is a peace, it is an area of resources not known to this world, but practical and applicable to the life of this world. Therefore, those who discover the inner life will never be those who try to escape from life or who try to withdraw from life or who spend their life in idle dreaming. Those who discover their inner resources will immediately become more active in their outer life. They will be far busier in their industry or their art or their profession than they ever were before, because it is the function of that which is stored up within us to prosper our outer experience. not to separate us from it. The Master says, remain in the world, but be not of the world. Certainly, remain in this world and add to the world of art, literature, science, architecture. Add to this world. Draw forth the hidden secrets of atomic power and harness them up to the farm machinery and the airplane and the automobile, the steamship. Do not leave this world, but seek the hidden secrets of nature and bring them forth for the comfort and well-being of mankind. But if you think that you're going to find all of these secrets in books, or all of these secrets in the revealed knowledge of the world, you're mistaken. There are more secrets hidden in your consciousness than have ever been brought forth into the world. There are more hidden secrets of great value to the world, hidden in consciousness, that is, not yet revealed, more than ever have been revealed. We really are only at the beginning of revelation. Just remember that in most phases of our human experience, that we are still working with pioneer aspects. In other words, we are still in the first half century of the airplane. Our farm machinery is, most of it, outdated. What we do not know is far more in value and extent than what we already know. Even in the physical sciences, man's physical health, we're only at the beginning of bringing forth the knowledge that will ensure those of the material world of their health. Now, the powers, the energies that make possible these discoveries lies within ourselves. There is a power within us. There is a power within us that would enable us to live our lives harmoniously and peacefully in spite of all of the plans and proposals of those who plot the destruction of the world. Plot it either willfully, sinfully, or ignorantly. Let us see if we could follow just one strand of that this morning. We call this the Sabbath day. We are taught to keep the Sabbath holy. And in the outside world, this is meant as Sunday or Saturday, depending on your particular religious belief, as a day to be set aside as Sabbath, and that day to be kept holy, that is, in the worship of God. And of course, this is the natural misconception that always comes when you try to turn Scripture into an exoteric experience, that is, try to put a value on it as of the external world, whereas Scripture was never written in that way. Have a Sabbath, and keep the Sabbath holy. When you read Scripture from the mystical standpoint, you read it from the standpoint of the first person singular, I. And you're not reading about Moses or Elijah or Isaiah or Jesus or John, you are reading the life story of yourself, and you are receiving instruction for yourself. And so it is that when we are told to have a Sabbath and to keep it holy, and we understand that Sabbath is the refraining. Sabbath is a refraining from labor. But it is more than a refraining from labor, it is also a refraining from the pleasures of the world. We are no more supposed to indulge the pleasures of the world on Sabbath than we are no more to indulge the pleasures of Sabbath than we are to indulge the problems of the world. Sabbath is a refraining from the problems, the labors of the world, and the pleasures of the world, in order that the Sabbath may be kept holy. Now let us translate that into the terms of the inner kingdom. We will have no relationship to Saturday or Sunday as Sabbath. We will accept it as a period. A period. But instead of a period in time, let it be a period in consciousness. And so, just for the purpose of our example, let us decide to make this moment, these coming moments, our Sabbath. Only remembering that we are not doing it because it is Sunday. We are merely doing it because we have come together at this particular moment. But we can just as well do it on Monday or Wednesday. And once you understand the nature of Sabbath, you will have a Sabbath period every day of your life. In fact, you will find it as impossible to get along without your Sabbath period, as you will find it impossible to get along without your bathing period, washing period, or eating period. For a day to be complete, it must contain a period of Sabbath in which we are going to refrain from the problems of our world, the labors of our world, and the pleasures of our outer world. And we're going to turn within, since the kingdom of God is within me. And the first remembrance we have is, my peace give I unto thee, but not as the world giveth. Ah, well, now we are withdrawn from the world. We are within, where we are enabled to receive this, my peace. Now, my peace, the Christ peace, has no relationship to any kind of pleasure or profit or peace that can be derived out in the world. It is a peace, the peace that passeth understanding, but the peace that can only be received within, because it has no relationship to the peace that the world giveth. So it is here in this Sabbath period, when we are refraining from thoughts of labor, thoughts of problems, thoughts of pleasures, that we have met inside of ourselves to receive this moment of peace. This moment of spiritual refreshment. Now here is what immediately comes to my thought. I remember the Master saying that ye shall not worship in holy mountains or even in that holy city of Jerusalem with its holy temple. For the kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there, it is within you. And so again, in this period of Sabbath, I can perform my worship of God because there is no God outside of me, neither low here nor low there, up or down. My worship must be conducted within me. Ah, again, this comes. Do not pray where you can be seen of men. Do not pray to be seen of men. Go into the inner sanctuary. That's where we are right now. We are in the inner sanctuary of our own being. We are in the temple of our own being. And remember, this is a holy temple. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? And so here we are turned within in this holy temple. And here we are to worship. We are to receive Christly peace. We are to receive spiritual refreshment. Now here's the keynote of Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, you receive your spiritual refreshment. Remember how the Master would go away for periods of time to receive spiritual refreshment. He went where he could be alone. Close the door and go within to the temple of your being, and there, while in Sabbath, while in refraining from the life of this world, here in quietness and in stillness, receive your spiritual renewal, your spiritual refreshment, your spiritual peace. In fact, when you are very still, you receive an assurance of God's presence. I am with thee. I will never leave thee. I have meat the world knows not of. You see, we are in that area of consciousness now, in quietness and in confidence. We are being still, and we are knowing that I, in the midst of me, is God. The kingdom of God is within me, and from this kingdom comes forth resurrection, ascension, renewal, even the lost years of the locust are restored. Because here within I am receiving the presence of God, the Spirit of God. Only in this period of Sabbath can I say or even feel, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. His strength renews me. His wisdom governs me. His presence goes before me to make the crooked places straight. How else can I abide in the awareness of God, in the Word of God, except in this period of Sabbath, which is not a day, but which is an area of my own consciousness available any day, every day, any hour of any day or night. Now my Sabbath is a daily experience, a period of refraining from this world and its ordeals and its threats and even its pleasures. For here in this brief interval, I receive inner instruction. Go this way, go that way. Be at peace. My Spirit is upon thee. My peace is with thee. And even if there were no words and no thoughts being spoken or uttered to me, there would still be this inner peace because I am tabernacling. I am communing with the Spirit that is within me, the Spirit of God in me. I can do all things through Christ which dwelleth in me. I can do all things through the strength, through the powers, through the energies, through the wisdom, the direction, and the protection that I receive from these hidden resources within me. When it would appear that my outer life is barren, I can go within and find hidden manna. I can find that wellspring of water, that water that bubbles up into life everlasting. When I come forth from my period of Sabbath, I am truly renewed, and then I find that some of my problems have been solved while I was away from them. Or I find new wisdom to carry out my projects, or I find fresh inspiration for my art or my literature or my science, or I find fresh discoveries in my mind. You see, the barren places are no more. I have been renewed from within. I have been refreshed from within. I have been restored from within. I have been reborn from within. This only becomes possible if something within you responds and says, yes, it must be so, that there is an inner place in man where God abides. There must be some inner sanctuary where the Spirit of God dwells. It cannot be that God cast us forth on the earth and said to us, get along without me. And since God is not in the visible universe, and God hasn't even been found by our astronauts up in space, the logical conclusion is that Christ Jesus was spiritually wise when he said, the kingdom of God is within you. The realm of God, the abiding place of God, or the Spirit of God, or the Son of God, the Christ. But something within you must, when you read such words as these or hear such words as these, something within you must respond. If there is no spiritual response from within you, if you are still of the grossly materialistic sense that does not have a feeling of something beyond what can be seen, heard, tasted, touched, or smelled, then the time is not yet ripe for you. Go thy way a while. Enjoy the pleasures of the outer senses. Use up the strength of your body and of your muscles. Draw on all the capacities of your mind. Until such time as you strike the desert, the barren place, where you can't go on any further, where you have come to the end of your own resources, and probably in that extremity, you will be enabled to accept the truth that there is within you this hidden spring of water, this hidden meat, wine, resurrection, bread. I am the bread of life. I am the meat. I am the water. I am the resurrection. All of this is in the kingdom of God within you. It is not outside in a holy city or holy temple or holy book or holy man. It is within you. The function of the holy book, the function of the holy man, is to instruct you to seek and find the kingdom, the realm, the area of consciousness within yourself where this hidden splendor abides, where the hidden manna awaits you, where the Holy Grail is buried. It is all within the reach and the depth of your consciousness. You, with your eyes closed, with the doors of your senses closed, turning within to this inner sanctuary, you search every area of consciousness. You may at the beginning give 2 or 3 minutes to this Sabbath period. Later, you will give 10 and 15 minutes to it. But even 2 minutes is enough to start you on that search for the hidden place within you where is stored up your refreshment, your spiritual renewal, your spiritual intelligence, your spiritual strength, that which gives power to your mind and to your body. If you think that you are feeding your body by bread alone, by physical food, or even the vitamins and the minerals that you add to it, if you think the body is fed by this alone, someday your body will fail you. Man cannot live by bread alone. Man cannot live by the outer food, weather, climate. Man cannot live by outer business and outer pleasures alone. Now, the man who truly seeks the inner kingdom is not seeking to escape this world, is not seeking to hide from the problems of the world or the duties and obligations of citizenship or family. The person who honestly, sincerely seeks the inner kingdom merely seeks a source of spiritual strength, wisdom, harmony, grace, so that coming out into the outer world, there is a greater mental power, a greater intellectual power, a greater physical power, because it has been fed from spiritual sources and resources. Any individual living a life at home, in business, or out in the world, in government, anywhere, who brings to that life these periods of spiritual refreshment must bring greater integrity as well as greater knowledge and greater strength, because the spirit is the source of a man's integrity. If a man obeys the Ten Commandments merely because it is right to do so, or merely because there is a punishment for violating them, he is not yet a good man. The good man is fed by spiritual springs which make it impossible for him to violate either the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, we do not derive our integrity by our own morals. These always fail in periods of great temptation. We find our integrity only from spiritual sources. Then it is not our integrity, it is the integrity of the Spirit. Why callest thou me good? There is but one good, that is the Spirit that dwelleth in me. And it enforces my goodness. Why callest thou me loving or charitable? There is but one source of love, one source of benevolence, one source of charity, and that is the Father within me. Integrity, ability, capacity, understanding, all of these are fed from a spiritual spring and from spiritual food that is within you. Without a period of Sabbath, without a period of refraining from worries, doubts, fears, and pleasures, you have no access to this hidden kingdom, to your hidden manna. Always remember, I have meat the world knows not of. But that statement will not feed me. That statement will not bring it into my life. That statement causes me to retire within so that I can say, Lord, feed me. Give me to drink. Renew me with spiritual energy. Give me grace for today. Give me thy grace for today. Give me thy wisdom to carry into my business. Give me thy inspiration to carry into my art, my literature, my designing, my architecture, my engineering. Breathe into me thy life, thy spirit, thy wholeness, that I may never glory in my strength or my wisdom or my understanding, but realize always the source of these. Let me always rejoice that I have this hidden chamber within myself, this inner sanctuary where I come to be renewed, purified. Purify me with thy holiness. And do you not see that when you come out of that period of Sabbath, which is perhaps likened to the master going up to the mountains for 40 days? Ah, yes, but then the master comes down into the valley. And when he is down in the valley, he heals the sick, he feeds the hungry, he forgives the sinner. By what power? None of himself, I of my own self, can do nothing. But by the power of the Spirit of the Lord God that is upon me, neither do I condemn thee. I do not have it in me to condemn thee. My peace give I unto thee. I forgive thee. I say unto thee, sin no more. I say unto thee, pick up thy bed. Arise, walk. I say this not because of any powers of mine, but because in my Sabbath periods, the Spirit of the Lord God has come upon me, and I am ordained to heal the sick, to give comfort to the miserable, even to assure the sinners of their forgiveness. It is not that I can do this of myself, but just think of these hidden springs of spiritual waters flowing through me. Think of this spiritual meat that is being fed to me. Think of the spiritual wine of inspiration that is forever pouring itself upon me through these periods of Sabbath. of refraining from the outer world. Yes, there are those who run away and hide in a cave and pray all day and pray all night and forget that this is the least part of their experience, because until it is consummated by coming down to the valleys and sharing, it is of no value. On this path, you will never become a daydreamer. You will never waste time. But these periods, which will ultimately take 15 minutes out of your day, will enable you to so live 23 hours and 45 minutes as to be a blessing to yourself, to your family, to your community, to the world at large. Because you will bring forth from this period the inner grace. Never think that this can be released in you and not felt by the people of the world. That is an impossibility. Wherever you go, whether in your business life or other life, wherever you go, it will not take long for others to note that there is something different about you. And all there is different is that you are receiving this inner wine, inner meat, inner water, inner renewal, inner refreshment, and you are always strengthened and about your Father's business. There are no periods of tiredness, of weariness. There cannot be. These periods of physical and mental tiredness and weakness only come to those who are using up their physical and mental energies and do not have a source of spiritual renewal. I have never met those who have learned the secret of spiritual renewal to complain about being either mentally or physically fatigued, because it is impossible. It cannot be. It is the feeding and the watering and the wining from within that is and results in a constant state of renewal. The physical frame, separate and apart from spiritual energies, wears out. That's why it has been given as 70 years. It wears out like all machinery wears out. The only thing is that machinery doesn't have the capacity that we have for spiritual renewals, spiritual rebuilding, even spiritual resurrection. Even if the body is gone with either disease or age or weakness, remember that a return to these spiritual sources and resources will rebuild the body, renew the body, raise it up from any grave that it is occupying, free it from any prison that it is in, whether it is a prison of sin or a prison of disease. Only spiritual renewal will bring about that freedom. There is really a spirit in man. Surely you must know that all of the scriptures of the world cannot be wrong. They all point to this spirit in man, whether they call it Satori, or whether they call it Tao, or whether they call it Brahm, or whether they call it Messiah, or whether they call it the Spirit of God, or the Son of God, or the Christ. Every scripture points to this inner wellspring, this inner source and resource. In ancient days, there were those capable of teaching how to go within and make this contact with your spiritual center or source and draw on these resources. That secret has been lost in the last 1800 years. But that secret has been discovered again, and there are people all over the world now learning how to contact their spiritual center, that place within them wherein is stored up these spiritual energies and spiritual wisdom and spiritual grace and spiritual integrity. I have never seen the righteous man begging bread, says Scripture. But the righteous man is not one who goes to the synagogue and sits there all day, or to the church and sits there all day. There are loads of those who are begging bread in one way or another. The righteous man is that man who has found the way to reach the kingdom of God that is within him. Of course, if something in you doesn't respond and say, it must be so that there is a kingdom of God within me, that there is an area of my consciousness in which my spiritual renewal exists, then this path is not yet for you. But if something is singing inside of you and saying, it must be so, there's no other hope if it isn't so, because we've gone through thousands of years in which we've proved that there is no God upstairs and no God downstairs, not even a devil downstairs. We must come back to the revelation that all of this, the source and the resource, is within me. Now, it may be difficult this first year to seek this hidden kingdom and find it. It may be difficult to actually reach the place of contact. But what difference does that make? It isn't an easy path. The way is straight and narrow. It's within you. And one of the first things you have to learn is that it is not dependent on whether at this moment you're a good person or a bad person or just a medium person. It isn't dependent on whether you are obeying all the laws of the land or of Scripture. It isn't that at all. Once you find this kingdom, and you can find it while you're the woman taken in adultery, you can find it while you're the thief on the cross or the thief in prison, you can find it at any time that you're willing to go seeking within yourself. But in the moment that you find it, you will find that the woman taken in adultery is released not only from punishment, but from any further life of that nature. You'll find that the thief on the cross is not only forgiven his sins, but he loses all the temptation to be a thief anymore. In other words, don't wait until you get good to find the kingdom of God, but find the kingdom of God and find that it makes you good. Don't wait to get healthy to find the kingdom of God. Find the kingdom of God within you and discover that it makes you healthy. Don't wait until you've got enough supply to find the kingdom of God, because Isaiah spoke truly. You don't need money to find the kingdom of God. You may need money to buy a book to find out about it, but you can get along without that book, or you can borrow it at the library if it's very necessary. But long before books were written, men were finding the kingdom of God within themselves. And there are those who are physically blind who can't read a book, and they can find the kingdom of God. It is not dependent on money. It is not dependent on books. One thing only. Do you have an inner feeling that there must be some truth to this? Do you have enough of that feeling to set aside the next year for daily periods of Sabbath? Completely refrain from thinking of your problems. completely refrain from your television set. Go within and seek to be taught of God. Listen for the still small voice that is within you to enlighten you. Wait, if necessary, patiently for the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon you, always knowing why you're in this Sabbath period, that I may be taught of God, that I may be spiritually renewed, that I may be spiritually refreshed, that I may receive spiritual drink and spiritual food, spiritual wisdom, spiritual light, spiritual health, spiritual life. All of these I know are stored up in this area of my consciousness. This is the hidden pearl. This is the hidden manna. This is the hidden grace, hidden within me. Be still and know that this is all within me. Be still and know that in quietness and in confidence, this wellspring will open up and bubble. This wine of inspiration will flow. Well, you see, the first 15 minutes of our Sunday mornings, of our lecture periods, of our class periods, are all spent in the Sabbath. That is the purpose of it, that I, in this quiet, may be lifted up and lift you unto the spiritual state of consciousness. It is the function of every Infinite Way student in the rooms where we are, whether Sunday morning or lectures or classes, to spend these 15 minutes within themselves that you may be spiritually fed. You who come, you who bring your coughs and your colds and your other hidden problems that are not so visible. Always there are those of us sitting here for that 15-minute period in prayer, that the spiritual springs may be released in you, that the spiritual meat may be fed to you. And then we spend the following hour in instructing those of you who do not yet know this way of life, how you too may accomplish it with patience, yes. It's not a panacea that you drop a tablet and it dissolves while you watch it and goes to work at once. But accept this, that you yourself are the temple of God, and that if you wish to find God, you will have to find God within yourself. Accept this, that you are the temple of God, and if you are to find the peace of God, the grace of God, the love of God, you will have to find it within yourself. And you will have to find it by periods of Sabbath, refraining from the outer senses, the outer world, and give this area of your consciousness in which your good is stored up, give it a chance to open out and flow. If you can start this way of life with several 2 or 3 minute periods during the day, It is far better than taking one 15-minute period. Just 2 minutes, 3 minutes at a time, 4 minutes, but repeating it often. Then eventually that once this inner kingdom is awakened and begins to flow, then you'll find you can commune with it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, a half hour sometimes. But even then it's nice to have at least two or three periods of Sabbath, even if only for a few moments, to acknowledge that the kingdom, the place of renewal and refreshment, is within me, and then to get up and be about the Father's business. Thank you until next Sunday morning.